The River Lords are no fools, the Queen argued. Without the Northmen, they cannot hope to stand against the combined power of Highgarden, Casterly Rock, and Dorne. Surely they will choose submission rather than destruction. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with a second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book. Cannot hope to stand against the combined power, and so on. Just makes me think of a fully operational Death Star.
Well, Death Star can win turn one, so that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to make sure you can go on a trench run, right?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we shouldn't try referencing. That never seems to go very well. Welcome to the White Book, a Game of Thrones podcast. No, really, I swear. I'm Will. I
think most people will have seen the first Star Wars. I'm going to call it the first Star Wars. It's the first Star Wars.
Sure.
I'm with you there.
All right, so he's Will. I'm Jesse.
Yeah. I'm Scott.
Yeah, this was supposed to be Team Kingsguard this week, but it seems like a hedge knight has infiltrated our ranks.
I have. I'm moving up in the world.
There we go.
I'm glad I could join you guys this week.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for hopping in to fill in a pinch.
Sure,
works. Works a beast for some of the other guys. So we'll see what we can do. Well, so this week we've got a few things that we're wanting to go ahead and hit on. Of course, there was a bit of actual news, some bad, some somewhere in the middle this week. So we'll hit on that, and we're gonna chat about some good news with Scott about his winning list over the Storm and the Starpike. But before we get to those, I wanted to take a moment once again to pop all of our patrons on Patreon and go ahead and hit up another one of our giveaways. So I'm still working on some of these house cards, and up next we've got another pairing, this time another classic grudge match from the books. We've got the Baratheon and Targaryen house cards going up. So we're going to flip over here to the random number generator, which is going to give me a result. And we're going to flip back to the spreadsheet and count. All right, we got looks like Lucas Wade. Lucas, you, sir, win a couple house cards.
That's a local guy to you, right?
No, not to me, at least. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm going crazy. I thought he was from out that way. But I had heard the name before.
No, unfortunately, no. He's not in my area down here. But hopefully you'll enjoy the cards. Again, these are the kind of football club, soccer team logo styled ones. So we'll tackle more next week.
Awesome.
Okay, so real talk, right, guys? We've got news, as we said. So there's a lot going on with Nationals in a broad sense this week, and so I think we can probably divide Nationals even into two chunks. So I'll see which ones you guys want to talk about first. You guys want to talk about Canadian Nationals first or U.S. Nationals first?
So we can go hot take that this is the best year for Nationals ever in Thrones.
Okay. Ooh, that is a hot take. You're going to have to tell me more. Explain how.
Yeah.
I want FFG to realize their the issues that they're having and the misdoings. And this is the best year ever for that. So combo both decks the same combo at the final table in Canadian Nationals. Awesome for realizing that shit's a little messed up. Time to fix it. And Nationals for the U.S. falling apart and not happening brings together, let's start planning things better so we make tournaments happen and run smooth. So best year ever for Nationals, because hopefully it's a wake-up call.
Well,
I mean, we all hope, right?
I hope so. But, I mean, one thing I do want to at least jump on real quick is we don't have any confirmation that U.S. Nationals are not happening at all. It's possible something could happen somewhere. We've just been told that the convention that hosted them last year, the Evergreen Tabletop Expo out in Seattle, is taking a hiatus year, so to speak. While they kind of do some restructuring. So they are not hosting Nationals. I don't know that we...
I mean, I'm of the belief that we will get a Nationals. I'm not sure when, but I think there is enough outcry from the community and enough people who are willing to just run it in so many different aspects that I believe we will get one.
I think we will, too. And I think that's kind of leads into... The main thought that I have about it is that, you know, we've seen Nationals kind of bounce around a little bit, right? Origins and ETX and different things. And it kind of never really quite had the same sort of footing because of Continentals for North America being at Gen Con and FFG slash Asmodee pulling out of Origins, and it's just kind of been up for grabs, so to speak. And I think it would really just be the most practical and I think beneficial for everybody sort of game plan for them to, I don't know, to treat it essentially like a regional. Like, you know, they've tried to have, like, at ETX, they had what? Thrones and Netrunner and I think Star Wars and like X-Wing and Destiny and stuff. Like, weren't they running the Nationals for like all of those together at one con?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. You know, and folks have to spend, you know, a lot of vacation time to hit up an entire con, and you're fighting against all of the extra, all the other people for lodging and food and different things. And folks are already probably wanting to try and go to Continentals Gen Con. They're hopefully wanting to see if they get lucky with the lottery to go to Worlds. And if they want to play Thrones, they're taking a whole week off of work to go to that on a Wednesday, but that's neither here nor there. And it's just, it's too much, I think. I personally think they need to split up the national events and not try to host all of their games in one place at the same event. Go ahead, let those be kind of like bid out and applied for like regionals, you know, and let I don't know, let Uncle's Games up in Seattle run Netrunner Nationals, and let I don't know. I can't think now the name of the place that runs Red Saturday. You got to help me out here, Scott.
Oh, Complete Strategy.
There we go.
That may or may not be running Red Saturday in the future.
Uh-oh. Well, I won't delve down that road yet, but let Complete Strategists claim, you know, Destiny if they want to, or actually probably let Team Covenant do that. Let Complete Strategists get Thrones or whatever it might be, and let that stuff be split up, and let the, like, individual passionate stores and groups kind of take control of that, so you don't have to split FFG's efforts and, like, demand that much more time out of competitors that want to come to these things. So that's my hope and suggestion.
So even after talking about it last night, you know what I actually just think is, like, the correct idea? Because they just can't figure it out, and, like, just things constantly happen. Don't we have an FFG center for this? Like, didn't they build a center to run tournaments? Like, just have it there. Like just make them different Saturdays throughout the summer. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It won't hardcore interact with regional season. It will literally make them money because we are there supporting their business.
Right.
Like, it is a win-win scenario for them. They don't have to ship prize support. They don't have to ship someone out to run it. They can literally do it in-house. And, like, it would be simple. And we could get a Nationals for everything with enough space and with enough support. That's what I hope they would do. I mean, like, if not, I the community will stand on their own, and we will try to fight for it, whether it's in the Midwest, whether it's on the East Coast, whether it's on the West Coast, you know, Kubla, Roy, Mark Kramer in the Midwest, somewhere, wherever. But, like, it would seriously be such a simple fix to just be like, we're going to hold it here, right? Or am I crazy?
No, I think you're right. I don't have faith in OP at this point, and it's sad to say that, but my philosophy is give a stipend to the people that really love the game and the communities, and have them do the prize support and run the tournaments. And you can fly in an official judge if you want. If you want Danny or Nate or someone to be the official judge for Thrones, that's cool, and pay to fly them in to whatever else, and just have the community run it, because I have more faith in the community, like the Roy Rogers of the world, doing a good job of making a good tournament, and other co-hosts such as yourself, Jesse, or Kyle, throwing a good tournament, than I do FFG at this point, as fortunate as it is. But I want FFG to prove me wrong.
I mean, I do as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always want them to do, like, the best job possible, right? Like, I never want them to fail or do poorly.
So I want to leave that open. It's no bad blood, but it's also, we love the game, and we want the game to have the best it can have. And if that, and we're more than happy hosting it, because we believe we can give it the best that we can give it. And we're more than happy to do so if they want to give us a stipend to run the tournaments, and we could provide the receipts too. So FFG, if you're listening, give us the money. We'll put it all toward the tournaments.
Or not.
And we're flying down.
I doubt they're giving money. I think the best case scenario for someone not FFG to be running it is that you could buy the kit from them, you know, like they do with the regional kits.
Yep.
But anyway, that's...
But, yep.
That's maybe about the end of that. It's just, you know, I just can't help but wonder, at this point, like, is U.S. Nationals cursed? Like, did someone put some mojo on that, and why?
No, I don't think we're cursed. I just think FFG is a shit company, which is super depressing, because all we want to do is play their games. Like, that's all we want to do. Legitimately, I take hours away from my family to play this game and to, like, help the community in any way I can, bring them content on tournaments, whatever. Like, I just want them to allow us to play it. It's not that hard. It can't be that hard. But they surprise me every day.
All right, let's stop this from being a rant fest. FFG, you know how we feel if you're listening. If you're not listening, then everyone, write complaint letters to FFG. Let them know. Let them know you care and love this game, and you want this game to be the best it can be. Or whatever other game you love more than this game.
If you love a different game more, we don't care about that. We only care about the show.
Correct.
But you know, maybe not even write complaint letters. Like Scott said about not wanting this to be a rant fest. Like send offers and pleas for help. You know, like it's not that I want to rant or complain. Like I just want to get out there and help with this stuff. So
we all do.
Yeah, make sure it's constructive, listeners. Make sure it's constructive.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess we went down that particular branch through the U.S. end of things. Now we kick it over to Canada, where we had, was it 5 people total in the field of 40 all playing the ladies combo deck? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, all within like 5 cards variants, but yeah. Yes.
And then, what, 3 of them in the top 4? Or,
Yeah, 2 in the top 4. So at the end of the Swiss, it was 1-2-3. And one was 6-0, one was 5-1 with just a loss to the 6-0, and the other one was 5-1 with a loss to Greyjoy Reigns packing every answer.
Greyjoy Reigns has a lot of answers.
And then Triss is a great answer. Like Triss on setup is a great answer for it. You have to have him duped. Then Jess Thompson went 3-3 with a really bad draw, and then she got beat by Crossing. And then Kyle Duncan went 4-2, but he lost to Kevin Austin playing the same deck. So really, he would have went 5-1 as well, most likely. So they just cannibalized themselves.
I mean, that's definitely a possibility in a field that, I mean, you know, 40 sounds like a pretty reasonable sized event, I think, to what we're kind of used to for Thrones in the U.S. But when you've got 5 people in that field, you're a significant chunk, and makes it pretty likely to start being paired up against each other to cannibalize like that. I think I saw Alex post they played 6 rounds. Well, I guess obviously they did if you're giving us 5-1-4-2 records. So. There you go, 6 rounds, winning decks like that. It's bound to happen.
Yep, absolutely. An interesting take that 6 out of the top 8 decks in Canadian Nationals in a national level tournament can all have the possibility of winning on turn 2. So there were 3 combo. Well, I'm just saying, like, there were 3 combo decks, 3 rush decks. Like, rush is king. Yeah. If you can't win by turn 3... you're gonna struggle.
I mean,
so
no, I agree. That's a problem right now, I mean, in the meta.
And traditionally, you know, when you're looking at that kind of the rush aggro combo triangle established by games like Magic, rush is supposed to be, you know, the rock, I suppose you could say, to combo scissors or however you want to divide whichever one out to. Kind of keep that in check, I guess. Rush more being aggro in a Magic sense, but anyway, you know, the fast straight to the face, win by turn 2 or go home deck is supposed to be the clock that keeps those combo decks honest in a larger like meta context. But when the clock is effectively the same for the two types of decks, then it's just kind of even a coin flip at that point. Like we've kind of deprived ourselves. The game, I suppose, as a whole has kind of deprived itself of that pressure valve.
I mean, we're getting a Martell box, which signifies more control.
Absolutely.
So, I think the meta will still have to shake out from there, but I do agree with you. I mean, also, not to toot my own horn, but I did just put the Stormwind Starpike deck that we're going to go over that I won with. It's a control deck.
Heyo!
Like, so control still is capable, but I do think the ladies' rush is a problem. And if I ran into that deck, I probably wouldn't have been able to beat it if they knew how to play around me.
Well,
that's fair. I mean, I think you made a lot of really good calls, and then you had to pilot, you know, around it. Heads on spikes and the king plot is pretty rough, but you played well. So I believe control and attrition can still win games. I believe outside of combo, the meta is still in a healthy place. Like, my issue with Rush is a personal issue. It's not that it's not a healthy archetype for the game. I don't think that it's a poor archetype. I don't think it's poorly designed. I think Rush should be in a game. It's fine. I just don't like it. Like, personally, I find it incredibly boring. But I think it's fine.
So I think there's a couple cards that make Rush not fine, but I think it's those cards in particular, and they're bad for the game in general, like Heads on Spikes. But I think combo is the main issue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hopefully, like, the outcry from the weekend, like, you know, everyone's been up in arms. This is now Tuesday, and I don't think this will air for a week and a half. Is that right, Will?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so by the time you guys hear this, hopefully we will have news or of some sort that something will happen. I promise you that people have heard the outcry and that at FFG from many people, including myself. And I mean, so we want something to change. I mean, obviously, I think everyone here does. And I hope it will. I hope it will.
Also, props to Jake Platt, the person who won Canadian Nationals. He's a good dude. But also,
props to Brad Eamon as well for helping create that deck.
Yeah.
Or helping, like, fine-tune it.
But props to Jake for also putting in his post on Thrones DB when he made it public. Not tooting his own horn, but saying, this deck is bad for the game. I believe it is bad for the game, and I want it to change, too. And that's what we need. When the deck creator, or at least deck innovator and winner, says that too, then we know there's an issue.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
And hopefully one that we can leverage a little bit with FFG. I mean, like Jesse said, as far as folks reaching out to them and outcry and them kind of being aware of things, I mean, there was probably not an outcry, so to speak, but we have seen what really appeared to be like player pressure resulting in the Melee restricted list last year, which, you know, take it or leave it as far as whether you enjoy Melee, but I think everyone that does play and enjoy Melee recognizes that that restricted list was a big improvement to that format. So hopefully we can.
I love the restricted list. I hope they update it before regional season if they're going to do two-day events again.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it needs updating, but I love the Melee restricted list. Even when we play casually at the shop, we follow it.
Yeah, same here.
Yep, it's really healthy for that form of the game, and even if you don't like it, I believe it has helped that side of the game at competitions.
Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, whether FFG, you know, comes down on the fence of issuing a restricted list for Joust or not, I at least think it's shown that enough player pressure can push some tweaks to improve the field as a whole. So, I've got my fingers crossed.
Cool. Fingers crossed for all. And again, send your complaints, thoughts, emails to FFGOP. Get them to us too, and we'll collect them all and send them as a group. If Will doesn't want to do it, I'll do it, because we need things to happen.
There we go. Scott offered himself up as point man.
Yeah. So, Will, you have to give me access to the email address, but besides that, that's fine.
Okay. I'm not going to do that over the air right now, but I think
generally, or just forward me the email.
Just casually tell us your password for everything, Will, and your social security number, if you do not mind.
Well,
just for the betterment of the community.
You know, I'm morally opposed to social security numbers, so sure, what's the matter? Not actually morally opposed.
I work in cybersecurity. Let's not get into that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then. Nationals wound up being less rabbit hole than I expected, or less deep of one. I imagine Jesse's probably pretty sick of chat and combo and all that sort of thing after just having done Wars to Come last night, huh?
I don't mind it, you know. Like I always want to discuss, you know, big moments in the game and with new people and new views on it. You know, I hadn't really got a chance to talk to you about it, and you know, Scott and I are both 2.0 players, and you're 1.0 player, so I did want to get your view on it, and whether you want a restricted list, like, you know, things like that. That is still important to me. So
well, I mean,
it didn't bother me at all.
I think
what he's trying to say is you're important to us.
Oh, well, I think that was by no means what I was meaning to insinuate there, but thank you.
No, I know. No, I know. But like, you always get new takes on stuff, right? And like, just because this happened, everyone's screaming for a restricted list, but maybe, you know, we get to listeners who might even have a better idea. And by Scott offering up his services by just reading emails and things, you know, the more people we get interested in the common goal for the community, like, I think the better ideas will happen, right? So
I hope so. I just, you know, I find it interesting from a philosophical perspective, in that all the time I've been playing the game, or the various forms of it before second edition, including the CCG, like, combos were something that would occasionally pop up, or like combo decks, whether they were like a one turn win kind of combo or not. You know, you can listen to the Insight and Renown episode where they talk about some of the other ones that popped up here and there, but they were before being decked was a loss condition. There would sometimes be one that would deck people out or do different things that would just, you know, repeatedly bounce the opponent's board. So that, sure, you got to spend the next five turns making unopposed challenges to win the game, but they're never going to have anything on the board while you do it, stuff like that. But they were always addressed very quickly and very many times very harshly by FFG in an FAQ update, be that a change to include cards on the restricted list in the mid to latter years of first edition, or by banning or errata back in the CCG edition. Like, they moved comparatively very fast to quash these types of things. And it just philosophically, I'm just very curious about the approach to that sort of thing now in second edition. Obviously, we have a different designer in charge now than we did at the outset of second edition. And for most of first edition, we've got Danny now instead of Nate. But I know Nate's still kind of department head or whatever his senior position is there specifically. I forget the title. So, like, he's still involved. I'm sure they still chit-chat. So right now we're looking at a game that has let some variation on these annals-fed combo decks run for... Have we hit a year yet? What are we, 9 months? Year? I forget exactly when the first one dropped on us. But we're not moving fast. It really feels like maybe there's been a shift in how they want to treat these kind of things. So their solution might be different than what I'm used to.
I mean, I just want it to be good. But yes.
We'll see. Now it wants something really big. Never wants a thing really big before. Like an FFG sponsor run major events. Forget the nomenclature they like to use.
Which nomenclature?
There's the different levels of FFG events. You probably know them well. There's the
Relaxed tier and Premier and all that.
Yep. Yeah, I think this is the first time it's won one of those elite ones. It might even be called elite tier, I don't know.
I gotcha. Well, we shall see. Well, on the other end of the spectrum, then, should we kick on over to something that is not a combo deck? It's much more control-y, as Scott describes it.
A sweet deck, though.
Yeah. Let's take a look at what you took to Storming at Starpike 2.
What we all should have taken to Starpike, Scott.
Yeah, so everyone but me and Roy took Klansmen, and I told everyone, sorry, Jesse, Klansmen is really bad right now.
I agree. I'm wrong.
I do see Jesse down here in 41st place.
After three rounds, I just switched decks and just asked my opponent, can I switch decks and just sweep you? I just want to play something else because I was so disheartened. So I won my fourth and fifth game, and then I dropped. But Tyrell Conclave, I went 2-0 with, actually. Down in the jungle.
Okay. Yeah.
I had my late summer feast naveled, actually. It was sweet. I was actually like, I wasn't upset at all. I was like, that's sweet. Great plot.
I mean, it's Wausau's fave, so it must
be
good.
Absolutely.
But in honor of everyone else playing Klansmen, I did wear a Lannister shirt and played with the Chelamet. So I was with you in spirit.
Absolutely. You're just smarter than us.
I don't know about all that. Yeah, so I think about the deck, first of all, Martell Wolf, I don't think is a very new player friendly deck as far as being able to pilot.
The skill cap is a little higher.
The skill cap is certainly higher, and while I was helping Roy let people in, I saw a lot of newer players piloting it and leaned toward Roy and was like, I'm surprised all these players are bringing it. And he's like, they probably got rolled by it and they want to try it. So I was the only Martell Wolf in the cut. I think the other benefit to myself is I play a very different Martell Wolf than everyone else. I think maybe now more people are playing it, but than people are used to seeing. Would you agree there, Jesse? I know you played Martell Wolf and you sent me your list and it was very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So like mine was a lot more, and I actually think that's the more popular version before this was published. I actually think you had a very unique spin on it, but my Martell Wolf was definitely more to the board. Very attrition-y, but in a different aspect. It was not as much coming from hand, so it wasn't jumping like yours was. Mine was a lot more to the board, trying to make them pay for things on the board, where your deck does aspects of that for sure. But your deck definitely plays from hand a lot more than my deck did.
Yeah, so normally when you see Martell Wolf, I think people expect to see Harrenhal and Varys and Jaqen, likely Last of the Giants, and that is the type of deck that Jesse's talking about.
Absolutely.
I don't play any of those cards. Mine is much more focused on cards like the Iron Bank Will Have Its Due, and jumping in and out characters from challenges with Orphan of the Green Blood. Well, not from challenges, just jumping them in and out of play with Orphan of the Green Blood and to a lesser extent Arion and Iron Bank Will Have Its Due and Flea Bottom, which I think in some ways is a superior way when people don't see it coming. It's a lot more hidden information and your opponent has to play around all your possibilities, which is very strong as long as they don't have something like Seen in Flames or Viper Eyes. But that, I think, is the major difference of My Immortal Wolf. We're going to publish the list, obviously. But Southern Messenger is a ridiculous card that people don't want to see paying five for, but it's value at five. I probably should have three of them. And it's won me the most games all day. And besides cards like Ward, it's a huge board swing card.
So I think Ward is very good as well, but I will say that in this deck, I think that was actually one of the first changes I made. Because I'm sitting here looking at my list, and it's like a few cards different from what you had built originally when we were messing around with it. And I'm definitely on three Southern Messenger, because that card is insane in this deck.
Yeah, that card is insane. I think the thing with my build is I don't really want all 12 star cards, but I have to find 12 star cards to play the agenda. But it probably should be one less star card, one more Southern. This deck does run three ward, and three ward, I'm convinced, is the right number, which a lot of people also think is wrong.
I'm with you these days.
Ward is insane, and it lets the board control go to the next level. And Southern Messenger, Ward, the Venomous Blade, and March just mean repeated board control. The other nice thing is the economy ends up so good in Martell now that you can just do a long plan, sit back, do nothing for the most part, Iron Bank something back, and then Valor D to clear the board again if you ever really need to. Basically, your opponent is not going to have a board, and they're going to be upset, is the main focus of the deck.
I am a little curious. You mentioned Valor D just now, but I'm seeing Margolis.
Valor M, sorry. I don't know.
Is that a... Oh, I didn't know if that was a tweak you had been looking at making or something.
No, so that's another thing I think is important in this meta. You rarely see Valor M right now, which is odd to me. It's almost like people forgot it existed, because Valor D is a much easier plot to just slot in and play. But it doesn't have the same effect on the game state as Valor M has. I would not change this to Valor D. It wouldn't have the same effect. The way this deck can lose is if you just get enough dupes, because if I try to bounce it once or I Valor you, it won't actually clear the board.
Yeah, that was going to be my main question there about Margolis, since I know you are very, very vocal in your displeasure with duplicates, you know, whether you had trouble having to chew through those dupes with bounce or something, or if you felt like most folks were kind of leaving themselves exposed enough for your Valor to count.
I mean, Valor counts enough when you have Ramsey and you have a Marched and you have enough tricks to Southern Messenger a bunch, and you have Tears and you have Vengeance. Like, you're going to get through the dupes, and you'll get through the saves. Like, Greyjoy won't have enough saves for this.
Right.
And plus, bouncing the hand, Greyjoy can't help, so that's still not a problem. Honestly, the bigger problem with Greyjoy is location destruction. I still actually think Greyjoy Reigns are the best deck in the meta. I just think you have to know what to destroy. It's basically because We Do Not Sow is so ahead of the curve as a card, I think. Which we can get to a list of cards at some point that we think are too ahead of the curve, and We Do Not Sow for me is up there. Not sure where you guys sit, but besides that, I think you're not really afraid of the saves and the dupes, because there's too many ways to chew through them.
Yeah, We Do Not Sow is insane. It's definitely a really, really strong card. If someone who actually until very recently played a ton of Greyjoy, I would have always considered it to be my favorite house. I just recently soured on them, but it is very, very strong right now. It's not like I didn't sour on, like, I'll never let the Drowned God down. I didn't sour on Greyjoy as a whole. I guess I just soured. I don't like Greyjoy Reigns. I find it just really boring. And for me to play this card game, like, I may not always play the best decks, but I want to play something interesting. Like, I think Drowned God is incredibly interesting. I think Greyjoy Stag is incredibly interesting. But, like, Greyjoy Reigns is just boring, right? Like, you just jam Ash and Euron and, like, don't dupe them because you have saves in hand. And, like, just, like, do whatever you want. And then once Adaharis, you just put the other one out and they can't do anything. Like, it's just dumb. Like, by plot four, you're just drawing your whole... Like, you're just looking through your whole deck with Asha for answers. So, like, it just seems insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... We can get... Yeah, that's another card that I'm curious as to the printing reasons. But anyway, So, Will, I think you're the only one who hasn't played around with this, so it's probably best that you ask questions about this deck if you have any, because...
Yeah, I
know what is obvious, and Jesse's played it too.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I mean, we've hit on a couple things that I was wondering about to begin with, but one that has been jumping out at me here is just kind of the thought about the Southrun Messenger, like you said, maybe even going up to a third copy.
That is probably right. It should be one less brand, one more Southern. I was never happy to see the second brand.
For sure.
Gotcha. I was going to say, you know, do you feel like you're running enough different sources or enough ability to hit specifically the spies or your one Nymeria to remove the icons you need to bounce stuff with the messenger? There we go. Too many similar names for me to pinpoint it in the list when I'm looking really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the spies, you're replaying them a million times.
Yeah.
So
even if you're not replaying the spies, which you definitely are, you see them so much and you're just replaying them. I think people, because of the value that you have to spend five on Southern Messenger or Arian, even in other games, but like in this deck where you have to pay five for it, I think they have to see the value. Right then, but I think the value of the game state and what you can punish them by bouncing, like I think if you bounce their monocon little chud, and then you can, like, I don't think you have to have a value hit with the Southrun Messenger, like I don't think you have to bounce a Tywin or an Asha or a Euron or a Vic or anything like that. Like if you do that, if you get that combo off, it's very nice. But I think most of the times when I was playing it, I was just bouncing a chud and then marching away someone big or ramsing away someone big, just making them pay for that decision to put the chud out. I mean,
so usually for me, the blade takes care of the chuds, but I think you're underestimating how much you can put. You're never going to bounce a tricon, and I never try to.
Correct.
One of the bigger, I think, misplays. When the video is up in the finals, you guys can watch it, is my opponent Martin, who played very well, had the choice to either march his Renly or a Knight of Flowers with the Crown of Gold and a Bodyguard on it, and he marched the Renly. That turn, I bounced the Knight of Flowers because he's much easier to bounce. So, Tricon against Martell, keep it, basically. But my type of setup for this deck, which... is probably more unconventional. If you can have a flea bottom in hand or something, if you could set up something like Arian, Rose Road, and a spy, you do that and open Fallen from Favor and make the spy Fallen from Favor. You might do that to start anyway. I usually open Fallen from Favor because you just want to get it in the discard or somewhere you can flea bottom it and then bounce it back to hand later and do it again. Same thing with Ario and the Messengers. It's a bouncing game. This is like Lanny Jumpers. You wanted to play Clansman, a Jumpers deck? This is the Jumpers deck that works right now.
Yes. This is why I enjoy this deck.
A good way to look at it.
Well, I just like find decks interesting that you can play from hand that your opponent doesn't know what you can do. And I don't think enough decks in 2E give us that option. And this deck.
No, it totally agrees.
So.
For a while, I was big on just playing the Harrenhal, Lanny, big guys with Tower of the Hand.
Yep.
Which wasn't great, but was fun. But this is, I think, the first that is extremely competitive and is fun and a lot of hidden information, which is really exciting. Plus, until now, at least, probably after this podcast is out and the video's out and the list gets published, it hasn't been popular. Most people are playing the version that Jesse mentioned, that is the Varus, the Jaqen, the Harrenhal.
I still think on a competitive level, just the casual stuff, we will see more of that always, because I think this deck is much harder to pilot. Maybe you disagree?
No, I think it's this deck is much harder to pilot.
Yeah, so in the regular Martell Wolf that we speak of, not this deck, like the other one, you could make like 7 mistakes in a turn and still have like 6 gold and do whatever you want with. This one, you do have a lot of gold, but you get punished for mistakes really badly. Like if you misplay or like miscall a plot, you can just get really punished with this deck. It just doesn't allow for a lot of errors like the other one does, in my opinion.
Probably. It might be because I played it so much that, like, in the finals, I know I made 2 misplays, one much worse than the other. And you could see them both, and when the video comes out, I'm curious to see if I made at least a third. But one of the hardest things, I think, to do, and I misplay this more than I wish I did, is knowing where to put that blade. Because it almost always goes on a chud, right?
Yes.
Because you just want to put the blade back to hand.
Yeah, unless they're like idiots and they put like a Theon out against you. That's like the best feeling in the world, right?
Yeah. Well, I meant on your own guy is where to put that blade.
Oh, well, yeah. On your own guy. That's fair.
I mean, your Arion's also always a solid target, I'm sure.
Yeah, Arion is fine. Anything you're going to bounce, you can get the blade back to hand. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, whatever you put the blade on is what you're going to march the next turn. So you have to be thinking the plot ahead about what you were going to march, so when you can get the blade back faster. And that's something I misplay a lot, but I don't end up losing for it, really. That might be a small misplay. I'm not sure. I misplayed on the finals, too. Like, that's one of the 2 misplays I mentioned. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, any deck along these lines, let's call it a legit, so to speak, recursion deck, like a non-combo oriented recursion deck. Like, there's a lot of sequencing involved that you have to keep straight. You're effectively playing with like a whole extra play zone compared to what other decks normally use. And when you're playing with tricks to move things easily back and forth from one to the next, that's a lot to keep straight as far as the most efficient paths to move one to another.
I'd agree. So as a rule, which is a rule I should have followed and that I mentioned, is if you have like a green blood trader and you aren't doing the Arion for the blade, you should probably put on something like the green blood trader or the spy if you're willing to lose, if you can afford to lose like a 3 strength bicon. Because these are things that you want in your discard so you can flip out on them back in. And then hopefully bounce them back to hand.
Makes sense. Man, just thinking about all of that, all of the potential there, I'm looking at your deck and I'm imagining the nice little bit of fun it would be to be in a situation where you blade some chud on their side and drop it on your Desert Scavenger. Then pop in your Doria Sand to bounce your own scavenger to replay a blade. I don't know. You've got a lot of pieces that can do that. That's not one of the optimal ones by any means, but I think it just goes to show that you've got a lot of options to keep churning those through.
Yeah, no, that's the point of the deck. Everything can be reused and everything is powerful. Doria Sand on her own is Doria. It's a ridiculous card that I think people underestimate. She wins tons of games.
Are you ever really bouncing anything more, much more than a 1 cost with her? I mean, obviously you're getting some chud out of the way when you do that, but I'm just curious about you know, how they actually played out.
You have three bastard daughter and Imeria, Elia. I think that's it for Sand Snakes. But I think I bounced in one game from it, I bounced like a Garland, a four-course Garland.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very solid tempo swing right there.
That's insane.
Even at bouncing like three cost, I think she's very respectable.
Yeah, she's a big tempo card. And plus, if you need to get something back to hand, she can do that too, which is good. Aria is also a good back to hand target if to get another dupe.
Mm-hmm.
But Ramsey has really made Martel Wolf jumpers, in my mind, be able to be all that it can be. Because Ramsey is basically saying, you get three more marched, which is everything you always wanted and more.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jesse, has that been your experience playing the more conventional version of Martel Wolf? Have you played it with Ramsey?
Yeah.
Has he
what?
Has he swung the deck to be that much better in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey's insane. Martel Wolf is the best deck with Ramsey, I believe. Probably this version and then the other one. But it is not my favorite Ramsey deck, but it does just swing games. Like, Ramsey's an insane card. And when you can have... Oh, Night's Watch Wolf.
Is that...
Night's Watch Wolf. Okay. I just love that deck.
I was going to say Lani Wolf.
No, actually, I'm not a fan of... as much as I love Clansmen, I'm not a fan of regular Lannister stuff. Jumping is fun, but I really hate, like, Big Tywin, and... I have a Lani Greensight deck I like. Like, I have a Lani Greensight deck I love. That Aaron Groff showed me, and I've tweaked it and stuff, and, like, I'm consistently decking, like, half my opponents.
Nice.
Yeah. Really? It's definitely not
terrible. Are you running a fast Tywin?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the good one. The good Tywin. but no, I love Night's Watch Wolf with Ramsey. But I am excited. I'm very, very, very excited to see where Night's Watch Wolf and Martel Wolf goes with Arya. The new Arya, obviously.
I'm curious if I'm going to run that Arya or this Arya. I want to run them both, you know?
Well, like, being the thing with Martel Wolf with the new Arya is you don't have to honestly play her, correct? So, like, you can just Arianne her in and then Valor. And, like, that, like, just makes any bad matchup just unbelievable, correct?
No, yeah, that is the thing. She is just there for the Valor turn. That's all she would be there for.
Like, that's insane enough to me. So I'm very excited to see what that does to the build, if it changes it much at all, or where it goes from. Was that Arya, or was a card like Arya like that? Was that in 1.0, Will?
You know, I'm trying to remember
where characters can
there
be saying
was ever. I feel like there was a Shadows. It was one of the King's Shadows Kingsguard. I think it was Meryn Trant. And I think it was actually a little interactive. I think it was while you had more cards in Shadows. Characters couldn't be saved. I remember it.
First of all, I read all those Kingsguard cards. So, like, I didn't play 1E at all. I didn't even play it at the beginning of 2E, right? But, like, I now own an entire 1E collection.
Uh-huh.
I just bought it just because I wanted to, like, do, like teach myself the game. Which, first of all, Clansmen and 1E are amazing.
Some of them were super fun. Cool.
But I just... My favorite's Temet, where just, like, nothing dies if it's knelt. Like, clansmen that are knelt don't die, so then you use Valor and you still have, like, all your clansmen, right? But I was reading some of those Kingsguard cards for 1E. Those are bonkers. Like, those are cards are insane. And they could just be put in any deck.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was gosh. Lannister Shadows with the Knights of the Realm agenda. abusing those guys was definitely one of my very favorite builds. I was the one that took me to the top 16 2 years in a row.
Oh, that's amazing, dude.
The cards were good.
we'll get you back there, Will.
Yeah. One of these days.
All right, do you think you'll be able to go to Worlds this year?
We'll see what happens.
It's just so tough with yours and your wife's work schedule, right?
Yeah, it's tough with that. And we are actually we're planning a trip to Scotland.
In the
first week of September. So between that and Gen Con, which I am going to again this year, like that, those two just eat so much vacation. If Thrones is on a Wednesday again, I seriously doubt I make it to Worlds. If something crazy happens and it winds up on Saturday, hey, maybe I can make something happen. If I win a lottery and get a ticket anyway.
I don't think, even if it's on a Saturday, Thrones is going to cap out. I know that's a depressing thing to say, but I think you'll be just fine.
Well, I mean, a ticket to get into Worlds. You had to get a Worlds badge to get into the tournament at all, I thought.
So you apply for the game, right? And then like those slots fill up, but like, I mean, and I know it was on a Thursday this year, like Wednesday, Thursday, but Thrones only had like 120 people at Worlds this year.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I thought they had capped the total number of attendees total to the event center for the weekend.
Oh, I'm not sure. And I'm actually not sure how that worked.
Cap got hit. That's what happened, because then Thrones and like Netrunner didn't cap out, and so they took some of those seats, so to speak, and then opened up additional registrations to L5R for the weekend. If I remember correctly how things work, like they kind of had it reserved so that it capped the overall number and then was divided out. But I don't know. I wasn't paying super close attention once I knew I couldn't go. So
that is fair.
Yeah, only L5R, I think, had the possibility of selling out.
Yeah.
So
wait, Netrunner didn't sell out, and it had like 200 and something players?
I don't think it did last year, did it?
Yeah, Netrunner was insane.
Okay, maybe Damon didn't fully kill it as I thought he did.
No, Netrunner like over doubled the size of Thrones. I know that for a fact. I think it was like 250 players.
They were
shoulder to shoulder at Netrunner. It was like real crowded.
Well, good for Netrunner. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
That's another talk.
Yes, it is. It is.
Scott's leaving us to go back to Netrunner.
No.
It's more like I definitely don't like what Damon did to that game, but maybe it's more just me.
That's fair. But so final thoughts on this deck, guys. Once again, congratulations, Scott. I know I've told you that probably 15, 20 times now.
Thank you, everyone. Everyone, you're my favorite people.
Yes. But listeners, you should check this deck out. It is super fun to play, even though we're saying the skill cap is a little bit higher. Just read the deck. Know that it works a little bit differently than the other Martell Wolf. It plays a lot more from hand, but it is a super, super fun deck to play. Very interactive and very interesting. And I think it's very good for the game. So.
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this. I want more decks like this in the game. It's not that I wanted to brag. I just want more interesting decks in the game. And sure, this to me is an interesting deck, even though people a lot of times quit when they see your house card with your agenda. Mm-hmm. I think also that might be brought on by the other Martell Wolf, but it does require a lot of skill. It'll also make you a better player by playing decks like this, which
absolutely,
I encourage everyone to do. It requires more thought and more thinking ahead, which will make you better at all decks.
Agree.
I agree.
Looks like Netrunner Worlds had 233.
Yeah, it's insane.
Props and slops?
Sure.
Props, Jake, again. You made a great deck, and hopefully you also opened up FFG's eyes. And you're a good dude. And congrats on winning, too.
So I'm a big fan of Platt, so props that as well. My props to Daniel Bryan. He just got medically cleared for like the first time in years to wrestle, so wrestling fans, the Yes Movement is back. It's exciting.
Yes.
Sometimes I think I really I miss something in life by never getting into wrestling.
Man, it has been such a wonderful part of my life. And it's something that I've been passionate about. I'm 25, so I probably started watching it when I was 4 or 5. You know, just been a lifelong fan. It's good stuff.
To get into the WWE, the product isn't that good right now. Or get into Ring of Honor, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be good. Well,
yeah, it's fun. It's just like, it's just a soap opera with athletes. And I'm all about that action. It's just funny. So, what do you got, Will?
Oh, man. You know, I haven't had too much different going here. Lately, let's see, my recent comics binging has kind of paused and slowed down a little bit. I've just been doing odds and ends stuff. Rewatched Wonder Woman last night. Still a great movie. Ops to Wonder Woman.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
General.
I have a slops.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a slops. Slops the Sea of Thieves servers. Myself, Buzz, and Malucci tried for hours last night to get on at release. We could not. They got on for a little bit today, and hopefully we are able to play tonight, because I have been thoroughly, been waiting a long time for this game, so I just want to sail the seas and play, so hopefully the servers allow us to get on.
Ah, man. I need more time for video gaming. I'm so behind. I still haven't even finished Aspect Andromeda. About the only thing I really sit down and play anymore are Telltale episodes and the occasional like lunchtime Overwatch match.
That's fair.
You could just play Thrones online.
Actually, that is something I've done. You know, slops to myself for not giving in and playing on the Iron Throne for a really long time, and then props to myself for finally starting to do that over the past week. So there we go.
You know what we need to start getting, Will? We need to start getting like sound drops and sound effects, like claps, things like that.
Yeah, there we go.
We have like the yes drop ready for Daniel Bryan and just a clap ready for you for playing more online.
Yeah, if we went back to recording in Zencastr, I could just have those auto queued up in the bar at the top. Ready?
I mean, I'm sure you can find a soundboard. I'll do it for my side when I'm on. But someone has to do it on the Hedge Knight side.
Oh, man.
All right. I have one final props. Props to people who are driving to my birthday tournament. By the time you hear this, it will be the following day. So you will be on the road, hopefully, listening to this. Thank you for coming, and hopefully I live up to the potential of a great Midwest event and good for the community.
I think you will. I wish I had the chance to, the opportunity to make it to that as well, but send everyone my love, so to speak.
I will.
Yes, sorry again. I have to move that weekend, so that difficult, but I'll be there in spirit.
Next year, hopefully we can get the whole White Book crewed up.
Oh, there we go.
So, exciting.
Yeah. Well, while we're propping stuff, I'm gonna also prop the reason actually that I can't make it to Jesse's tournament. Sorry, man. But I'm gonna.
You're good, brother.
WillyCon, which is this coming weekend, the one before Jesse's. I can't make two Big Thrones events back to back with that much travel. But I know WillyCon's gonna be a blast. So pre-props.
You said you've been wanting to go for a while, right?
Yeah. He's been running that tournament or a tournament at that convention for the last, I think, 5 years now. And we just keep not finding the time to make it. So we swore up and down that we were going this year. So
good for you guys. Good for you guys. You know what you're playing yet? By the time this airs, it'll already happen. So,
oh, you know, that's actually a good point. You know, I wanted to play something a little different. So I had been tinkering around with a Tyrell watch,
right?
You know, mace deck, and took some advice from Aaron and you and Scott, and tweaked that. And like, I've been enjoying it, but I wasn't totally sure about taking it up there with with the outlook that some of the folks I know that are going to be there have on the game. I thought that might get me ostracized, so I started tinkering around with a Lanny Wolf build, trying to push.
That's a bummer. Why don't they ostracize for you? That's a fair deck.
I know it is very much not rings type of thing, and knowing that this tournament is just kind of an excuse for a bunch of people to party at his place. I don't know. I haven't 100% decided. But I've also been tinkering with this Lanny Wolf deck.
You should take the sweet Martell Wolf deck.
Maybe I should. You know, honestly, I'm looking at it and hearing Scott kind of describe it. And while I'm certain this Martell Wolf deck is superior, I think the kind of thoughts on what the deck wants to do and kind of that attrition-y keep removing the opponent's stuff on the other side of the board, you know, bounce, kill, steal with ward, march, that sort of thing. I think that plan is very, very similar to this Lanny deck with wards and King Joffrey and things like that. So
very cool.
I like the feel of it so far, but we'll see.
Good stuff.
You still got time to convince me to play something good. I don't leave to drive up there till Friday morning. So,
define good.
Well, you know what? I guess winning Starpike is pretty good.
Yeah. Good. Most people don't ask me for good decks. They ask me for fun decks. So, Scott's the good deck guy.
Okay. That's where I'll point that question then.
All right. Good stuff.
I think Jake got the better deck than me.
Don't play combo.
Okay, I think I can definitely skip that one. That would put me in the danger zone.
Ooh-wee.
There we go. Perfect. That one closes this gap. We'll be right back.